Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last year, this time, things were a little bit different, weren't they? As you probably remember, the whole world was celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. There were special church services and cantatas and choir festivals and concerts all throughout the world. There were dramatizations and plays and rock operas written to celebrate the occasion. Lots and lots of trips were taken to Germany, and every little town that Luther or any one of the other reformers ever passed through rolled out the red carpet and shouted, "Willkommen!" to all the tourists who had come to see the history of the Reformation. There were commemorative t-shirts. There were commemorative mugs. There were commemorative hats. There were commemorative bobbleheads. There were commemorative spatulas. You might laugh, but those are great spatulas. There were news articles and TV interviews with Reformation historians. There were special museum displays and documentaries. Even those not in the church got in on the action, offering their interpretation of how the Reformation changed the face of Europe and Western civilization. About a year ago, you couldn't swing a pair of lederhosen without seeing or hearing something about the Reformation because of that significant anniversary. This year, not so much, because 501 is only a special number for Levi's jeans. This year, on the 501st anniversary of the Reformation, most people don't care. Many churches that were standing room only for a special Reformation choir presentation last year are mostly quiet and empty this year. Books about the Reformation that were flying off the shelves last year are now sitting forgotten and ignored. Most news outlets won't even mention Martin Luther this week, and no new documentaries are scheduled to come out. And clearance bins are now the only place you can find commemorative Reformation spatulas. And that's sad, really. Not because we need the hullabaloo and the commotion and a worldwide celebration to make Reformation Day special, but it's sad because so many people who celebrated so grandly last year completely missed what the Reformation was all about. It wasn't about social reform. It wasn't about tearing down the hierarchy of the church. It wasn't about an earthly teaching that lasted and still had an impact for 500 years. It wasn't even about Martin Luther, Philip Melanchthon, or any of the other brave reformers who risked their lives to bring that message. It was about the message from God that the Reformation restored. The eternal message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was a message that had gotten so lost and bogged down among the traditions of man. But by the grace of God, it was once again proclaimed in boldness and purity through the Reformation. That message was what was important 501 years ago. And that message is still important today. Because think about what that message actually says. The Bible is very clear in what it tells us. And what it tells us is that we are sinners. And by that sin, by our disobedience to God, by the fact that we have transgressed God's holy statutes, we deserve nothing but eternal condemnation. The world likes to kind of play down sin, likes to justify it and say, well, times have changed, and those draconian ways from long ago, that was fine for them, but we're smarter, we're better, and doggone it, people like us more, so we can handle these things. It's not really sin, but it is. We are, by nature, sinful and unclean. Even our well-intended deeds are often self-serving and selfish and sinful. Even the things that we claim to be doing in the name of God so often are more for our own glory, our own purposes, our own agenda, and are sinful. We are sinners to the core. And as God's word so boldly and controversially proclaims, it takes only one sin to bar us from heaven. God's perfect heavenly kingdom is perfect and holy and without sin. And we who are by nature sinful do not deserve to enter there. And the fact is, there's nothing we can do about it. In the times of Martin Luther, works righteousness had become the core teaching of the church. You have to atone for your sin. You have to do the right things to pay for that sin. You have to work your way out of that debt. But the truth of God's word is there was no way we could work out of that debt, because it was a debt that piled up more and more and more even as we tried to work our way out of it. There was no way for us to get out from under the weight of our sin, because our sin compounded each and every day. And unless we worked off every bit of it, every ounce of it, every dot, we were lost and condemned creatures. That is the truth of God's holy word. And it is a truth that the church had lost. It is a truth that the church had twisted around, sadly, for its own money-making devices to say, well, sure, you might not be able to work off the sin, but cash has got to do something for it. So put a little cash in the coffer, and maybe your grandma will get out of purgatory a little bit earlier, even though the Bible says nothing about any of those concepts. But that had become the teaching, because that was profitable. That served the church and the greedy people behind it. The truth is, we can't earn our way out of sin. And the truth is, there is no way to heaven outside of Jesus Christ. Without His grace, we are lost and condemned creatures. If we look to ourselves for our righteousness, we are lost. If we look to foreign gods for righteousness, we are lost. If we look to science or culture or anything other than the pure teachings of Jesus Christ, we are lost and condemned creatures for all eternity. Outside of Jesus, there is no salvation. Despite what we might want to believe, despite how harsh that might sound, there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. But by the grace of God alone, through the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ alone, we are forgiven. We are restored. We are made holy, innocent, and righteous in the eyes of God, even though we are corrupted to the core by that sin. Our reading from Romans was critical for Martin Luther. For years it haunted him, that righteousness of God, that he read this saying, I can never attain that. And God is kind of dangling heaven above me, saying, come on, jump a little higher. Oh, you almost had it that time. He feared, even hated God for that. But then he read it again in a new light. By the power of the Holy Spirit, his eyes were opened to see that this passage was not speaking about God's righteousness being something we could never obtain, but that it was God's righteousness given to us freely. We all know the first part of the famous part of that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's right, you're a sinner, you're bad, you deserve hell. But there's so much more to it than that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. By Jesus Christ, you are justified made right, made holy, proclaimed innocent of all the wrong that you have done, of all the sin that you are. Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, humbled himself to come to us in the flesh, to become true man born of the Virgin Mary. He did not sit far off and say, well, I sure hope they figure this out, but he came to us, became one of us, stood beneath his own holy law for us, willingly set aside all of his almighty powers to be with us. His sinful creation, who hated him, who disregarded him, who wanted nothing to do with him. But by grace, he came to us. And he did more than just come and walk among us and say, this is the right way to behave. These are the works that you must do. No, he came to take our place, to take the weight of our sin upon himself. Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, who was perfect and holy and without sin, took every sin ever committed upon himself. All of our filth, all of our sins, our misdeeds, our hatred, our greed, our lust, all of these things that we did and deserved to be punished for, were instead laid upon him. And then he gave himself over to death on a cross for us. His perfect and holy blood was the only sacrifice good enough to atone for your sins. Paul uses that word that he was set forth as the propitiation for our sins, the one who filled the righteousness that we never could, the one who gave himself in our place, the one who suffered all the suffering that should have been ours, and in return gave us his perfection. Jesus Christ, true God, died for you. He was crucified, died and was buried to pay the price of your sin. Eternal God gave up everything because of your sin to set you free from sin, death, and the devil. But death was not the end. For on the third day, just as he proclaimed, he rose again from the grave, breaking the chains of death forever, shattering death's stranglehold on all mankind. He did this not just for himself, but for you, the firstborn of the resurrection, giving you a sign and a guarantee that victory is yours, assuring the whole world that all those who look to him in faith will rise to eternal life, just as he did, to be with him forever in his heavenly kingdom. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he has done for you. You sinned, Jesus paid the price. He suffered hell, you get eternal life in heaven. This is the truth of Jesus Christ, and this truth alone sets you free. It really is that simple. Look to Jesus Christ in faith and live. And yet, that simple message gets so confused so easily. Still today, even 501 years after the Reformation, we think that it's about our works, that it's about living a good life, that it's about being a good person, that it's about proclaiming Jesus in just the right way, and that's how we get into heaven. And even if we don't think that we're earning our way to heaven, that God is keeping a tally and saying, well, you helped one little old lady, so that's one checkpoint for you. Even if we don't think in those terms, we still think that it's up to us to do at least part of it. That we play some sort of active role in our salvation. That we have to accept or choose Jesus. As if the Almighty God is just standing on the sides. Oh, I sure hope he picks me because I can't do anything otherwise. That's not Almighty at all. We think that it's up to us to make our lives perfect and acceptable for God. That only then will He look upon us and say, well, you did your best, now I'll do the rest. No, God has done it all because our best is a filthy rag because of our sin. We think that it's up to us to develop and maintain that personal relationship with God by our own power. Certainly Christ dwells with us. Certainly we rejoice that He is our dearest friend and we do have that relationship. But to think that we're the ones who started, that we're the ones in charge of it, and if we slip, then He will abandon us like a fair-weather friend, is ludicrous, because we're not good enough. It is Jesus Christ alone who saves. It is God alone who saves us, who gives us the power to live a Christian life. And that Christian life is not what saves us. It is simply the normal outflow of His love in our lives. And yet we forget so easily. And that's why the message of the Reformation is timeless. That's why we need to hear that message, not just once a year when October 31st rolls around and we think about Germany back then, but every minute of every day. That message was important 501 years ago. It is important today. And should God allow the world to go on for another 50 or 500 or 5,000 years, it will be just as important every single day of that time. The message of the Reformation is Jesus Christ alone. His work on our behalf, His grace taking away our sin, His victory becoming our victory. And the beautiful thing is that message will not change. We preach a message that is not just 501 years old because Martin Luther didn't change anything. What he did was he looked back to the truth that God had revealed at the very beginning of time. And he brought it back into focus, brought it back to the center of the church. Since Adam and Eve, the message of the gospel has been the same. Though you are a sinner who deserves hell, God provides the Messiah, the Savior who will do the work and win heaven for you. Look to the Messiah in faith and live, because He alone can do the work of salvation. And out of His unfathomable love for you, He freely gives you the gift of heaven. Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. And He alone gives us the gift of heaven. He alone is good enough and powerful enough and loving enough to save sinners like you and me. This is the eternal truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is that truth alone that truly sets you free. Free from sin, death, and the devil. Free from the terrors of wondering throughout your life, have I done enough to please God? Free from the eternal hell that you deserve by your sin. Free to love Jesus Christ in this world and for all eternity in His heavenly kingdom. 501 years ago, Martin Luther and many other faithful Christians turned back to the truth of Scripture, and the Reformation began. And even though there are far fewer special events this year, even though the world seems to have forgotten, that truth, that freeing Word of God, is just as important today as it ever was. And though we're not celebrating today with special cantatas, t-shirts, or spatulas, we still rejoice with all our hearts. We rejoice that God used the men and women of the Reformation to proclaim His word purely so long ago. And we rejoice that still today we are able to know and hear and proclaim that word in the same purity. And we rejoice that it is that same word, That gospel of Jesus Christ that has brought salvation to faithful sinners throughout all history. From Adam and Eve to the final sinner to survive when Jesus comes again in glory, we are justified by faith apart from works of the law, made clean by the propitiation of Jesus' blood, set free from sin, death, and the devil only by the eternal gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is why we celebrate Reformation Day every year, even when the world says it's not a special year. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. By the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by His empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.